Welcome to Healing Fire Ministries. We hope you will be blessed as you listen to this message. God bless you.
Genesis chapter 4, reading from verse 1. The Bible says, "And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen?" Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the word of God. We always thank God for his word, because the word of God is life to us. Hallelujah. You know, the word of God gives you such wisdom. And what I have discovered about the wisdom of God, you see, wisdom is such a powerful blessing that wisdom is almost similar to prophecy. One of the gifts of the Spirit is the gift of wisdom. The Spirit of wisdom, the Bible calls it. And what that anointing does is that it enables you to have foreknowledge, to know things before they happen. Someone say wisdom. That's the power of wisdom. A wise person, you can easily mistake them as a prophet. But the wisdom is so sharp that they know how things will turn out, even though they don't have a divine knowledge, so to say. I hope you understand what I mean. So the word of God is loaded with wisdom. You could be a young man, but you could have wisdom about marriage. You could be a young man, but you can do so many great things by taking or receiving from the word of God. And you can do greater things than those who have gone before you. Are you listening to me, somebody? So the word of God is so powerful and must become your best friend. Now, as I'm reading the scripture that we just read here, one of the things that I'm noticing is that the Bible tells us that Adam and Eve had a child called Cain. And afterwards, they had another child called Abel. And how painful it is when your children, your own children, fight to the point where they kill each other. How sad. These were the children coming from the same mother. And one rose against the other and killed the other. I pray for your families. I pray for your children that you will never hear that your children were fighting. It will never happen in your family, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Your children will never fight each other. Your children will never kill each other, in Jesus' mighty name. If you believe, let me hear you shout hallelujah. This is the first family quarrel in the Bible, and it was the worst. It ended in murder. What a shock. Hallelujah. All right, so we are talking about the falling of countenance. And to summarize, we are talking about people who have a change of attitude towards their God. Hallelujah. There are people who, as I've explained, come to the house of God with good intentions, with a nice spirit, with joy, with the aim that I'm here to worship the Lord. But as time goes by, they have a change of attitude. They turn towards God for whatever reason. So Cain is a guy who loved the Lord. He was even giving offerings to God. He was worshiping the Lord. But in the process of time, God said to Cain, "Cain, I don't like your offerings anymore. I like Abel's offerings." When that happened, the Bible tells us that Cain's countenance fell to the point that God asked him, "Why has thy countenance fallen?" In other words, why has your attitude changed towards me? Hallelujah. Many people, they don't have a good attitude towards God, because many people's relationship with God is based on what you want God to do for you. God is bigger than you, brother. God is bigger than you, sister. You should rather be asking God, "What do you want me to do for you?" But some people by now, they wanted to be married. Some people by now, they wanted to be driving a Golf 4, VRs. I don't think there's still VR 6. GT, whatever, all the nice cars. But they're still catching taxi. And because they are still catching taxi, they are angry with God. Do you understand? I always tell the story here in church where a woman went to fetch her daughter, her child. I can't remember whether it was a boy or a girl. And because the transport was already there, she decided, "Let me not take the child. I will just follow the transport." And as she was following the transport that had her child and other children in it, that vehicle went head-on collision with the truck, and her child died. When her child died, she said, "There is no God." Someone say mercy. When I hear the story, all I hear is that God was saying, "Go fetch your child." But she wasn't in the spirit. She was in the flesh, and she didn't take the child, and God was trying to save the child. She didn't understand or perceive, and her child died. But she rather interpreted the thing that there is no God. So from that day, her attitude changed towards God. Hallelujah. So our attitude towards God must never change. It must never change. God is way bigger than us. God is way greater than us. In Isaiah 55, he told us that his thoughts are way higher than us. Way, 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 way. So we must humble ourselves and subject ourselves to our God. And subject ourselves to his ways, not our ways. Hallelujah. So I explained the dangers of a fallen countenance. And I explained why people get offended with God. And it's not only with God. Sometimes people get offended with their pastors. Don't get offended with me, okay? I'm a human being just like you. And I'm not ashamed to say sorry. If I've done you wrong, come and tell me. I will say sorry. Hallelujah. And I will do my best to change my ways. But if I've done you wrong, it shouldn't affect your relationship with God. The most important thing that you have is your relationship with God. Don't let anything come between you and your God. Hallelujah. I think that deserves a mighty hand. Now, for a very short time, today I want to give you advice on how to not have a fallen countenance. How to keep a healthy countenance. Someone say healthy countenance. A healthy attitude. Yeah. A healthy attitude towards God, a healthy attitude towards each other. Do you understand? Amruti, can you borrow me your phone again? Thank you. Number one, choose to be around strong believers. Choose to be around strong believers. Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17. The book of Proverbs, the 27th chapter. Where's your Bible? You've borrowed it someone. All right. Proverbs 27, verse 17. Are we there? Only two people are there. It's in the Old Testament, the book of Proverbs, chapter 27 and verse 17. Hallelujah. The Bible says, iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Hallelujah. Now, the scripture tells us that it is iron that sharpens iron. Do you understand? If you are a child of God, you've come to church, any church, not just ours. In church, there are different groups of people. There are those who are strong believers who love the Lord, who are willing to sacrifice for God, who are willing to do anything for God. In the same church, there's a group of gossipers. A group of people who knows everything about everyone. Even though it may not be true, but they know something. There's different types of groups. There are groups of people who come early. There are groups of people who come late. There are groups of people who, during service, they sleep. There are groups of people who, during service, they are wide awake and they are listening to the word of God. There's the groups of people during praise and worship. They are just spies in the church who watch us as though they have no emotions. They cannot sing. They can't. I'm preaching. And then there are groups of people who love the Lord, who lift up their hands, who sing. Even if the voice is going that side, they don't care. They are here for Jesus. They are here to worship the King of Kings. So when you come to the house of God, which is the same in life also, you have to learn and have the wisdom to choose the right group. Choose the group that strengthens you. Choose the group that encourages you. Choose the group that empowers you. Some of us, even in the workplace, even in the workplace, there's groups. There's groups everywhere. There's a group of complainers. There's a group of toitoyas. I don't know in English. What do you call them? Strikers. There's always groups. When I used to work, I always like to see the guys who are always praised at work. And I'm always checking, why are they praised? And I noticed that, especially the white guys, when they come to work, they come to work. And some of those who are black like me, when they come to work, they've come to have fun first. They've come to eat food first before they work. So I will watch the groups and I will see the good things, and then I will associate myself with the good group. In life is like that. You have to accompany yourself with the good group. Iron, only iron sharpens iron. So if you see yourself as iron, if you see yourself as someone who wants to love God, if you see yourself as someone who wants to be a prayer warrior, any desire that you have towards your relationship with God and in life in general, choose the group that you see that they are already doing what you desire, or at least they are in the journey, or the same journey that you are in. Are you listening to me, somebody? When you come to the right group, your countenance will never fall. Because when your countenance is always fallen, you'll be weird in your group. You'll be like, what's wrong with you? Because the type of group you are in is not a group of people who are always sad, who are always depressed. It's focused people who know where they are going, who know what they are doing. It's amazing how people do not have the wisdom to choose the right groups in their lives. I always find it amazing how you always end up amongst people who are always destroying you. There's a scripture that I like where people came to ask Jesus, what's the most important commandment? Jesus responded and said, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Now the part that I like there, it says, as you love yourself. It means that you must have self-love. To some degree, you must love yourself. Now, if you are hanging around with groups that are hurting your destiny, that are hurting your future, that are hurting your emotions, it means you don't have self-love. You don't love yourself. You need other people to love you. And sometimes because of your need of other people to love you, you come towards people who hurt you. Am I talking to somebody? So the first thing is you have to have the eye to see that these are good, these are not good. These are good, these are not good. You are married. All your friends, not even one is married. Not even one. They are not even planning, even to be planning. Agwapelo amen asonto. How? What are you talking about? Hello? You know, every time my friend calls me, before he finishes the call, he always says, my friend, please greet your wife and greet your child. And I will say, my friend, please also greet your wife for me and greet your child. Now, those of you who are hanging around with unmarried people, who what's going on? I feel like you don't like my message anymore. Learn to choose the right group, even in church. Even in church. And also generally in life. Learn to choose the right group. Hallelujah. How many people notice that, hey, I've been around the wrong groups at one point or other in my life? Have you noticed something like that? Yeah, most of us, we tend to go towards the wrong people. But it stops today. I said it stops today. One brother said, ish, pastor, if now I have to leave my friends, I feel like I'm hurting them. Look, they are hurting you worse than you hurt them. They are hurting you big time. They are destroying your life. So don't worry about hurting or not hurting. They're already hurting you. So just a balega ngenyawo zombili. We are too worried about other people. Sandile, am I preaching? Mamrute, am I preaching? Let's read Proverbs 27 verse 17 one more time. I think it's a powerful scripture. If the Bible is yours, please highlight it. The Bible says, iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. So for your countenance to be healthy, your attitude to be healthy towards God, towards other people generally in life, you have to have friends who sharpen your countenance, who encourage you. Hallelujah. And you also must decide to be that type of friend. Don't be the type of friend who is not strengthening other people. Are you listening to me, somebody? You know, it is very difficult to be a good friend. It's very difficult. One of my friends was going through something recently, and it was very difficult for me to tell him the truth. But I always tell myself that if I'm a good friend, I want to be the type of friend who will tell you the truth. If you are doing something that I don't think is okay, I will tell you that, my friend, I hear you, but here, I don't agree with you. Choose to be that type of friend. Not to be the type of friend, wherever the wind is blowing, is also blowing you. Nonsense. Number two. Learn to pour out your heart to the Lord. Learn to pour out your heart to the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 1 from verse 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1, we'll be reading from verse 1. Quickly. 1 Samuel chapter 1. It's in the Old Testament. Reading from verse 1. Are we there? The Bible says, now there was a certain man of Ramathaim, of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuf, an Ephrathite. And he had two wives. Someone was asking me about many wives yesterday. Tell a neighbor, one wife, one wife. I tell a neighbor again, one wife. Not two, one. Not three, one. Tell the nearest sister next to you, one husband. Verse 2, and he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Penina. And Penina had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Penina his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb, and her adversary also provoked her sore for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah her husband to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? Why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? In other words, he's saying, why is your countenance fallen? Then he says, am I not better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post at the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thy handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thy handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my lord. Am I a woman of a sorrow heart or sorrow spirit? I have drunken neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. The Bible says in verse 16, count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial. For out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the Lord God of Israel grant thee petition that thou hast asked of him. Verse 18 says, and she said, let thy handmaiden find grace in thy sight. So the woman went away and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. Hallelujah. I know we read long, but you realize that this lady, she was in a polygamous relationship where the husband had more than one wife. And especially in those days, and even in today's time, if you are married and you cannot have children, it's a painful thing. It's a difficult thing. Your mother-in-law will be saying, I'm not going to have grandchildren. And you will feel bad. Do you understand? And worse, the other wife was making her feel extra bad that she couldn't have children. And so her heart was broken. The Bible says that she had bitterness of soul. Her soul was bitter. She was sad all the time. But the Bible says she poured out her soul to the Lord. In other words, she took all her pain, she took all her sorrow, she took all her difficulties, and she poured them out unto the Lord. She didn't go to her friends and said, hey, wait till the other wife. She didn't go to other people. The Bible says that she poured out her soul to the Lord. And after crying to the Lord and making her problems known to the Lord, the Bible said her countenance was sad no more. So when you are going through the most in life, learn to take everything you are going through and you give it to the Lord. Learn it. If you read the rest of the story, you will see that God answered her prayer. And she had a son. And that son's name is Samuel. One of the greatest prophets who ever lived. The greatest, in my opinion, who ever lived. Anointed man. Special man. One time, Samuel prayed for rain to rain now. And it rained immediately. The type of relationship he had with the Lord. Learn to pour. You know, if we don't learn to pour out our hearts, there was another woman called Sarah. In fact, her name was Sarai. S-A-R-A-I, I believe. And she was married to Abraham. And before Abraham was called Abram. And they both couldn't have children. Now, instead of them behaving the way Hannah behaved, Abram's wife took one of the handmaids, the helpers in the house, and said, my husband, you sleep with this girl and her children are going to be my children. What a shock. When we don't learn to pour out our heart to God, we often go into the realm of error and mistakes. Because then we try to play God. We try to take God's position and we start doing things that are wrong. Because we don't understand God's plans. All you see is that my friends are doing well, I'm not doing well. My colleagues are doing well. Don't see that. God has a greater plan for you. You know, it is said that trees that often grow to be very high, they remain short for a long time. To the point that you worry, why is this tree not growing? But you see, some trees, instead of focusing on height, they focus on the roots first. They establish themselves because the height that they are going to achieve, you need to have a strong foundation. So sometimes God is working on your foundation. He's taking his time because the distance that he's taking you, you need a strong foundation to survive where you are going. You need a strong foundation to stand where you are going. So many of us, we are looking at people who are trees who just shoot up quickly, and we feel like, but God. And you don't understand that God is working for your future. You don't understand. So don't look at your friends. Don't tell all your problems to your friends. Learn to give it to the Lord. Pour out your soul. If you want to cry, cry. You see, it's the safest place to cry when you're crying in the presence of God. It's the same. When you talk to God, he's never going to say, I'm killing. he can't. It's a safe space there. You can cry. You can laugh. Anything that is in your heart, you can pour out your soul towards God. Am I talking to somebody? Number three. Get involved in God's work. Get involved in God's work. Nehemiah chapter 2 from verse 1. Nehemiah chapter 2. Nehemiah is also in the Old Testament, chapter 2. We are reading from verse 1. I'm trying to preach faster than I am, but I'm struggling. May the Lord hold the heavens until we finish here. In Jesus' name. Nehemiah chapter 2. We are reading from verse 1. Are you there? The Bible says, and it came to pass in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of that guy, the king, that wine was before him, and I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been before time sad in his presence. Wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid, and said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad, when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed by fire? Hallelujah. Now this gentleman called Nehemiah, instead of being sad that people are talking about him or things are not happening in his life or whatever, the thing that made him sad was that the house of the Lord was in waste. The city of David was in waste. In other words, the church, things were not going well. And so because he was working for the king, if you read on, you realize that he went and asked the king and said, please, just allow me to go back and fix the walls of Jerusalem and to build the gates of Jerusalem. Many people easily change their attitude because they are not involved. In my past life, I was a soccer player, so I always give reference as a soccer player. I always notice that the player who is on the ground, when the ball comes to him, he's under pressure. Everyone around him wants to take the ball. But the person who's sitting on the stand, he'll be saying, why didn't that guy do that? Why didn't... It's easy to talk when you are sitting there. Come get involved. You won't have time to be talking because you'll be involved. Are you listening to me? Yeah. It's so easy to criticize when you are doing nothing. is the easiest to criticize when you are doing zero. Get involved, you realize that, hey, Lord, I'm sorry. I will never talk again. Now that I understand what is going on. Get involved. Don't be a bystander. Get into the game. Get into what we are doing. You know, before Jesus left to go to heaven, the Bible says that his disciples were fishing. Because Jesus had entrusted them that as he's going to heaven, that these guys will continue his work on the earth. So the minute Jesus disappeared, Peter said, I'm going fishing. In other words, he completely left the work that he was supposed to do. And he went back to his old life because he was a fisherman. So Jesus had to make a U-turn from heaven and come back to the earth because he realized that, hey, these guys have gone back from where I got them. And while they were fishing, the Bible says they had been fishing the whole night. Then a man stood by the seashore and said, cast your net on the other side. When they cast their net, all of a sudden, the net was so full with fish. Now Peter said, I've seen this before. This is not the first time this is happening. And he said, it is the Lord. He forgot himself. He even forgot to dress. And he swam unto the seashore. And he met the Lord Jesus Christ there. Now the conversation that the Lord had with Peter, he said, Peter, do you love me? Peter said, obvious. The Lord said, feed my sheep. While Peter was thinking about that, Jesus asked him again, Peter, do you love me? And Peter said, Lord, you are all knowing. You know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. And for the third time, Jesus said to Peter, lovest thou me? The Bible says, Peter was grieved that he asked him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said, Lord, you know. And the Lord said, feed my sheep. In other words, get into the game. Get involved. Those who don't get involved are the ones who are always speaking, criticizing, talking. They see every mistake. All right, we are sorry. We are just trying to do the best we can do. Just also come and join. Hallelujah. So getting involved will save you from having a fallen countenance. Are you listening to me, somebody? The amens have gone down. Can I hear a proper amen? Amen. Amen. Number four. Spend time in the presence of God. Spend time, personal time, in the presence of God. The book of Psalms 43, verse 5. Psalms 43 and verse 5. Are we there? The Bible says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. So David says, God is the health of my countenance. He is the health of my spirit. He is the health of my joy. He is health. Do you understand when I say his health? In other words, he keeps your joy up. He keeps you encouraged. He keeps you on fire for him. If you don't take effort to be in his presence, your attitude can change like this towards him. In his presence, there's fullness of joy. You cannot be angry in his presence. You know, in life, I also get hurt a lot. Recently, someone took my wife out for lunch. And the things that were discussed there, when I heard them, my heart almost broke. Do you understand? But and I wanted to be angry. I wanted to go through the emotion. But every time I was praying, I couldn't stay angry when I'm in his presence. That bitterness, sadness, whatever I was feeling, it cannot exist in his presence. So living in that glory, spending time with him, that thing cannot live. Your countenance cannot fall. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Let's read one more scripture just to prove what I'm saying. Come to the book of Acts chapter 2, verse 28. Acts chapter 2, verse 28. Acts chapter 2, verse 28. Are we there? Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Whenever you are, that word countenance there specifically means presence. In the presence of God, there is fullness of joy. In the presence of God, there is fullness of joy. In the presence of God, there is strength. Hallelujah. And I want to emphasize and stress that you must determine to spend your personal time in the presence of God. The presence of God in church is different to the presence of God when you're alone. Both are very important. You cannot survive with the church one only, and you cannot survive with the alone one only. You need both. So learn to spend time in his presence. Your countenance will never fall. You can't stay. Sometimes when I think about what people have done to me, I my eyes will water up. And I realize that if I keep thinking about these things, I'll start crying. But I don't hold any bitterness for anyone. Even if you hurt me, I will smile with you. And not that fake one, a genuine one. Why can I do that? It's the presence of God. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So learn to spend time in his presence. You can never ever have a sustained time of a fallen countenance in his presence. And the last one for today, which is my favorite, stay away from gossip and gossipers. Can I hear a louder amen? Amen. Stay far away from gossip and from gossipers. I once heard of a story. Are you there? Now, there was this newly married couple that moved into an estate. Do you understand? And when this couple came, the husband will always come out of his passenger or driver's seat, walk around, and open his wife's door, and the wife will come out. And so he did this every day, and the woman in that estate started noticing and said, wow, this guy loves his wife. Every time he will come out of his door, walk around and open the door for his wife, and the wife will come out. And then the woman started talking to each other. Have you noticed the new couple in town? I mean, that guy loves his wife. Every time he opens the door for his wife. So it became a thing in the neighborhood. And sooner or later, women in the neighborhood started being angry with their husbands. Why aren't you opening the door for me? Look at men. Look at men. What men do. Look at what men do. Only to find out that the car's door was broken. It couldn't be opened from inside. The guy had to walk around to open the door. Gossip is dangerous. A lot of people who gossip, you know, they are always convinced that what they are saying is true. And sometimes it's so far from the truth, it's amazing. So far. One day, somebody told me, I don't know whether they told me or told my wife, and then my wife told me that they visited a certain sister. And when they got to the sister's house, they found, and this sister is not married, so they found male clothes. And they even said, those clothes belong to a brother so-so and so. When I heard the story, I remember saying, how do you even know who the clothes belong to? Like, I mean, your discernment is wild. Stay away from people who gossip. And stay away from people who are gossipers. They are the main, major reason why people get hurt. A major reason. Let's read a scripture. Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 23. Proverbs 25 and verse 23. The book of Proverbs, chapter 25, verse 23. Are we there? The Bible says, the north wind driveth away rain, so doth an angry countenance a backbiting tongue. Hallelujah. In the church where I come from, my pastor, Bishop Doug, he wrote a book called Loyalty and Disloyalty. And it's one of the things that we were taught a lot. And there was something that they taught us called the north wind. Someone said the north wind. Which is what the Bible refers to here. Now what we were taught, Bishop Doug, when he was a younger brother who just loved the Lord, he went to a certain church. And in that particular church, they took two offerings. So when the service just starts, they will take an offering. And then towards the end of the service, they will take another offering. So when he was sitting there, in his heart he started, why are they taking two offerings? Yeah, this church, they like money. So he talked to someone who was sitting next to him and said, well, this church likes money. Why are they taking two offerings? And he said, the way that that woman looked at him, without her saying anything, he noticed that I am wrong. So we call that thing the north wind. Someone say the north wind. That's how we deal with gossipers. When somebody is coming to bring gossip, don't say, oh, emanyana, still, uring chomi. No. We have to exercise the north wind. When you notice that someone is about to bring gossip, your attitude must change to the point that they know that here gossipers are not allowed. Not allowed. Not allowed. Because if you allow gossip to come to you, you, then you are in the process of hurting someone. You are in the process of destroying somebody's life. Because a lot of the times the gossip is wrong. Am I talking to somebody? Someone say the north wind. Yeah. Let's practice the north. Just squeeze your face just to show that you don't. Yeah, that's called the north wind. Next time somebody tries to come and gossip and tell you all sorts of nonsense, you give them that face so that they know that not here. If you want to say something good. If you cannot say anything good, I'm not interested to hear. And do you know how to deal with a gossiper? If you apply what I'm about to tell you, nobody will ever come to gossip before you. After they have told you the story, let's say they come to you and say, "Hey, did you see Connie? Connie said this about this and this." And so, "Oh, serious? Connie, come here." If you do that, they will never come to you ever again in this life. Because they will know that, hey, if you come and tell that one, they will make us confront each other. And most of the time they say, "Hi, Emma." Say, "Hey, I want you to say it in front of her." I promise you, they'll never do it again. They will stay far away from you. And then gossip will not live in the church. And people will not get hurt in the church. Hallelujah. If you are a person that everyone is coming to talk about other people, you yourself are evil. You are a witch. If people are always coming to talk to you about other people, sure. Why are they always coming to you? Why? It means they know that when they have cooked the news, they know where they can take them to. Rubbish. Someone say rubbish. Yeah. So stay far away from people who gossip. And stay far away from gossip. Yeah. And if you hear gossip, if it's just passing by you, don't keep quiet. Come and say, "Hey, I've heard some, Connie, they are talking about you. Please." Gossip will dry up in the church. The spirit of gossip will never survive in such an environment. It can't. Are you listening to me, somebody? Because these things are things that destroy the house of God. The house of God should be a place where people come to find Jesus. It should be a place where people come to have encounters with God, experiencing healing, breakthroughs, changing of life. Now, as we are busy doing this work, you are fighting us and you are undoing the work that we are doing. That's why I say Moloi, because that's what they are doing. They are destroying people's lives. Hallelujah. I end with this story. There was a certain church. I believe it was in KwaZulu-Natal. Now in this church, there was a lady. That lady was anointed in gossip. She had a special anointing for gossip. She knew everything about everybody. And because of her, people were starting to leave the church. So when the pastor finally heard about what this lady is doing, she went to visit her. When he got there, he was holding a chicken, a live chicken. And he gave it to the lady. They sat down and he gave it to the lady. And he said, "Lady, I want you to pluck out the feathers one by one." So she obeyed her pastor. She removed one feather. The chicken screamed. And the pastor said, keep going. And she would pluck out. And the chicken would scream. And her heart started breaking for the chicken. So, pastor, why are you making me do this? I said, just keep plucking. And the chicken was screaming. Then the pastor said, this is what you are doing to the Lord. The Lord is the chicken. As you are removing every single person out of church, the feather that you remove is someone connected to Jesus. My grandmother told me this story. I never forgot it. And when you are becoming a gossiper, you are busy hurting the Lord himself, who died for the people who are here, who shed his blood for the people that are here. So you yourself must not be a gossiper. You yourself must not spread gossip. And you must not be the type of person that people are comfortable to gossip in your presence. It must never happen. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for Jesus and give him praise. Amen. Somebody say, why is thy countenance fallen? If you take this advice that I've given you, your countenance won't fall, and you will not be the cause of someone's countenance falling. Hallelujah. We all want to do well in Christ. We must be happy for each other, and we mustn't break each other and destroy each other. Hallelujah. You know, as I'm preaching specifically things that are related to church and the work of God and the house of God. But what I'm preaching, you can apply in life. In life. Some of us, even in our workplace, some of us, even in our families, we are busy gossiping about each other. In your family. Come on now. In your workplace, you are busy gossiping. No. Don't allow. Rather, let them hate you. It's fine. If they are hating you for doing the right thing, it's a better hate than being hated because you are destroying other people's lives. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Jesus. You know, my wife is helping me in the work of God. I can't always be listening to gossip. And one lady called my wife. And she said, hey, I just saw your husband passing wherever. That time I was sitting next to her. She said, I just saw your husband. I couldn't believe. See, don't never ever listen to gossip. Don't entertain it. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for Jesus. Let's rise to our feet. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to the powerful word of God. We hope you are blessed by this message. For more inquiries, go to healingfireministries.org or email us at info@healingfireministries.com or call at 072-591-2858. God bless you.